journalism is to question the prevailing wisdom. Question the prevailing wisdom.
Just speak the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
All rights reserved and affirmed.
Free all minds. These are weapons of mass dissent.
These are weapons of mass dissent.
Welcome to Uprising, a daily digest of independent news analysis, investigation, education, artistic expression, and activism. It's Friday, September 18th, 2009, and I'm your host, Sonali Kohatkar.
Silence is not an option.
Rethinking Afghanistan. We'll spend the hour with Norman Solomon about the ongoing U.S. war, its unpopularity both here and in Afghanistan, and why President Obama is pursuing it. This is Uprising. Good morning and welcome to Uprising. General Stanley McChrystal, the top U.S. commander in Afghanistan, has requested 3,000 urgently needed extra troops to Afghanistan, in addition to the 21,000 troops scheduled to be sent this year. Under Obama's order, the total number of troops in Afghanistan could reach up to 68,000. July and August were the bloodiest months for U.S. troops there, and this month looks to keep that death rate constant. More than 750 troops have been killed in Afghanistan since the start of the war nearly 8 years ago, and untold numbers of Afghan civilians have also been killed, either directly by the U.S. or by the increasingly bold Taliban force that derived their strength from the U.S. occupation. Meanwhile, the U.S. is facing an added test of credibility with the recent presidential elections. Former U.S. President Jimmy Carter called the Afghan elections despicable and said flat out that the U.S.-backed incumbent Hamid Karzai has, quote, stolen the election. After a dispute within the United Nations over the validity of the elections, American Deputy Peter Galbraith recently returned to his home in Vermont. Galbraith had recommended annulling election results from 1,000 of the 6,500 polling places and recounting votes from another 5,000. The European Union has declared that 25% of ballots in the election were fraudulent or tampered in some way. Today we'll spend the hour focusing on what many are calling Obama's Iraq, that is the ongoing occupation of Afghanistan, which actually began a year and a half before the Iraq War began. Leading up to the 8th anniversary of the start of Operation Enduring Freedom this October 7th, a recent CNN poll has found that 58% of Americans oppose the Afghanistan War. My guest is Norman Solomon. He is author of War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death, and executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy. He's going to be spending the hour with us. He just returned from Afghanistan. Welcome to Uprising, Norman.
Hey, thank you, Sonali.
Thanks so much for joining us today. So you were just in Afghanistan as the anti-war movement is gearing up to address the increasing number of troops and that ongoing war, which it seems as though had sort of fallen by the wayside or at least enjoyed a lot of moderate support over the last several years. Now that support has eroded. Where did you go while you were in Afghanistan and why did you go?
Well, I went because of a feeling that so much of the information flow from Afghanistan, including very crucially to Capitol Hill, is quite filtered, and the need for direct information, for on-the-ground contact with people, seemed very, very important and very crucial. I spent 5 days in Kabul, ending the first day of this month, and was able to meet with a lot of people. Originally, we had planned for this to be a congressional trip. The State Department put pressure on the congressman who had agreed to go. Then when we had two staffers committed to going with permission from their bosses, the State Department put direct pressure and indirect pressure for them to withdraw as well, which is what took place. But we had planned this itinerary for several months and really were able, I think, in the 5 days to meet with a pretty wide array of people in Kabul.
In terms of the sentiment that you felt and heard on the ground in Afghanistan, how unpopular is the war there?
Well, you know, with the caveat that we were just in the capital city, my sense was from talking to a lot of people, very similar to the polls that I have seen, you know, given the limitations, but polling of public opinion in Afghanistan. For instance, we were at Kabul University, spoke to about 40 students and asked them a series of questions that seemed to indicate as follows, that most people there did not want any more U.S. troops whatsoever. Most people did not want the U.S. to be bombing from the air. A lot of genuine anger, resentment towards the killing of civilians by the United States. Most people did not want the United States forces to disappear overnight. The sort of medium or middle position that, from what I could tell, was perhaps a majority position, with all the caveats, was that there's a desire for the U.S. government to train Afghan troops and for the U.S. to set a timeline and gradually disappear. And, of course, that's ambiguous, and I'm sure there's a wide array of views of how fast the disappearance should take place.
I'm speaking with Norman Solomon, who just returned from Afghanistan. And Norman, we are in our fund drive, as you know. KPFK is trying to raise money to keep this radio station on the air so that we can continue to bring our coverage of Afghanistan. And I feel proud that on this program in particular, we have brought cutting edge and critical analysis of that war almost from the start. Well, I came to the station just a few months after that war started. And now that critique is ramping up. And today we're very proud to feature as a thank you gift to listeners in exchange for a donation to this station, one incredible documentary that has just been completed, the newly completed film by Brave New Films and Robert Greenwald called Rethink Afghanistan, the definitive and newest film questioning the very basis of the U.S. occupation. The film's actually going to be opening in New York in early October, but KPFK listeners get to put in early orders for the DVD right now through our fund drive. If you call us anytime this hour at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK, for a pledge of just $10 a month, we'll send you the DVD, the entire six-part DVD, full-length feature documentary called Rethink Afghanistan, just completed by Robert Greenwald and Brave New Films. Again, the number is 818-985-KPFK. Norman, I'm going to play for listeners the opening moments of the film Rethink Afghanistan about how a consensus had been building over the summer that the current situation, the current approach, and the U.S. strategy in Afghanistan really needs to be rethought and needs to be reworked. So let's take a listen to Rethink Afghanistan.
Think about another way to deal with it.
Take a somewhat different course.
That requires rethinking.
Rethink this very, very carefully.
You see, you need to learn from history that there were 500,000 Soviet troops in Afghanistan, and they could not contain the Afghan resistance.
A military solution is not going to bring resolution here. If it would have, then the Russians had over 500,000 soldiers engaged here. The British were actually, they had the territory all around here, and they had the largest concentration of British troops during those times, and they chose to let it govern itself. So, I mean, it's important to look at some of those, lessons from history and see why was that done and how will it be different today.
The Afghans are probably the world champions in resisting foreign domination and infiltration into their country. They showed this to the Russians in the 20th century. They showed it to the British in the 19th century.
But to try and change a society which has never, ever been able to, by force, be changed, it's been known as a graveyard of many great armies. And it is not a place where you can bring about change by force.
Well, you know, it's not clear to me that our prospects in Afghanistan are any better than those of other great powers that have attempted to sweep in and control and transform this country.
The rural nature of Afghanistan, 50% of Afghanistan is
basically rural. The rural nature of Afghanistan is precisely why the United States cannot defeat the Taliban militarily, because the United States only has the forces to go and control certain urban areas. And when I say urban areas, I mean like 7 or 8 houses in a crossroads is considered an urban area. And they only have the ability to control these sorts of things. They don't have the troop size, nor could they conceivably ever have the troop size to actually control the countryside. It would require hundreds of thousands of troops in every village, which is not a tenable situation whatsoever.
If we look at Afghanistan, what we can see is, I think, the application of a faulty lesson. What I think the Obama administration is doing is believing that, well, if 20,000 extra troops suppress violence in Iraq, maybe 30,000 extra troops will suppress violence in Afghanistan. And I think that they're likely to be disappointed.
Given the size of the population, given the lack of development, lack of infrastructure, the number of troops that the administration is talking about really hardly amounts to more than a drop in the bucket.
You need a ratio of something like one combat force soldier for every 40 people in the country. And what that equates to in Afghanistan is well over 250,000 Western combat forces.
Those are the opening moments of the brand new documentary just completed by Brave New Films called Rethink Afghanistan. It's our thank you gift to you this hour, anytime this hour. If you call us at 818-985-5735, it's a pledge of just $10 a month or $120 pledge for the incredible documentary, which, by the way, has lots of special features. 818-985-KPFK is that number. My guest with me is Norman Solomon, who just returned from Afghanistan. Norman, just reflecting off of what we heard from this documentary from a purely military perspective, even if we set aside issues of human rights for a moment, is it even possible to, quote, win this war in Afghanistan if we just keep adding troops?
Well, my sense of it is that not only should the war not be fought, but it can't be won even if it is fought by any reasonable definition of win. I was accompanied on this trip by Rick Reyes, who works with Rethink Afghanistan. He's a former U.S. Marine who was sent into the Kandahar area shortly after 9/11 with the invasion of Afghanistan. And he really emphasized what he called the faulty intel that he saw on the ground. And by the way, his return was his first visit since having an AK-47 in his hand, his first visit to Afghanistan. He stressed and talked to me a lot about how he would be in the countryside with his Marine comrades, and they would be given what they were told was intel, and they would act upon it, and people would be captured, they would be injured, they would be killed as a result of this intel, which Rick says was almost always wrong. When he realized that the information flow to the U.S. military was often false, and that people were being killed as a result, and there was really no capability, given just the nature of the war, of the de facto occupation, for the U.S., even if it wanted to quote-unquote do a counterinsurgency correctly. I think, frankly, that on a political level and the war fiasco tragedy and the election fiasco tragedy are very intertwined, just at the level of pragmatism, politics, as well as military configuration, the wheels are coming off the U.S. war effort in Afghanistan.
And Norman, how important do you think the type of documentary that Rethink Afghanistan is? How important is it for people to get this kind of information? Because we don't always get the full picture from the media, or we get it in bits and pieces.
Well, it's absolutely crucial, because the manipulation of public opinion in the United States, which is now beginning to erode and fall apart, has been crucial to sustaining the war all these years. And the work of Rethink Afghanistan and Brave New Films has been really crucial so far, and I think will assume more and more importance as we get to a tipping point with U.S. public opinion. So at the grassroots, in terms of viral spread on the internet, and in terms of flow of information to Capitol Hill, I think this kind of on-the-ground direct information is a real antidote, frankly, to the poisonous failure of journalism in the mass media.
And Norman, I want to play for our listeners another excerpt from the film. Robert Greenwald and his crew went to Afghanistan and filmed there. This is not just a talking heads film. They talked to Afghans on the ground. They interviewed internally displaced refugees who had fled U.S. strikes. And I think it's pretty important, of course, for Americans to hear from the victims, the survivors of the U.S. airstrikes. Here's another excerpt of the incredible documentary Rethink Afghanistan. In this excerpt, we hear the heartbreaking stories of Afghans who have literally lost family members, whose children have died or are dying because of the grinding poverty they face from being completely displaced and even faced before the U.S. airstrikes. Let's take a listen to Rethink Afghanistan, which, by the way, is available for a pledge of just $10 a month to KPFK. It's hot off the presses, and we want you to call 818-985-5735 and order your copy now and support KPFK.
More U.S.-led air raids that have killed more innocent civilians.
Civilian deaths in the war in Afghanistan is growing.
The bomb struck a cluster of tents housing 100 families in the Ghazara district.
Between 70 and 100 people are dead.
Nearly 700 civilians were killed.
Since January, almost 1,500 have been killed.
We want to go back, but the Taliban will kill us. Or the Americans will kill us. If the Taliban comes and fires a bullet, Americans will come and they will kill the whole village. This was the room where we were sleeping. We were sleeping in this room. This was one room, and there, one bomb fell over there. And right there, and the other one right there.
The airstrike was precision munitions fired from the air outside of the, away from the civilian population on two individuals that were firing on the coalition forces. So it wasn't on the homes or in the area where it would put civilians at risk.
The Pentagon continues to insist the dead were mainly militants, sticking to its claims that only five civilians lost their lives.
It's the most basic of existences. Homes made by hand from mud and rocks and just a few sheets of tarpaulin stitched together for a roof.
The growing number of refugees, a sign of the worsening security situation in southern provinces.
I ask my God, kill me and put me under dirt or change our lives.
This child, I can sell her, but nobody will buy her. What can I do? I have nothing. I am poor. I don't have any blankets. I don't have shawls. I don't have any clothes. For God's sakes, I am poor. Otherwise, I wouldn't give her for 1 million. I know nobody wants to sell their daughter, but I have to. She is innocent, but I am poor. I have nothing.
And those are the voices of Afghans captured in the incredible, the remarkable, and the incredibly important new film, Rethink Afghanistan, just completed by Brave New Films. Very powerful, very moving. And this track is, I mean, it's very difficult not to cry listening to the voices of these very poor Afghans. The little girl that the father that you just heard was talking about after that piece was filmed did in fact die. There are no, not enough clothes, not enough shoes on the feet of these children. And on top of that, they have to contend with U.S. bombs. Give us a call right now, folks, and take a look at this documentary. It's called Rethink Afghanistan. 818-985-5735 is the phone number. 818-985-KPFK. It's a pledge of $10 a month. That's it, to KPFK. And we will continue to bring you cutting-edge programming, interviews with people like Norman Solomon and Rick Reyes. 818-985-5735 is a phone number for Rethink Afghanistan, which is an hour-long, newly completed feature film that has a lot of special features, by the way, including a message to Obama from Afghans, including a piece called Negotiating with the Taliban. There's one, Robert Greenwald in conversation with former CIA agents Robert Baer and Graham Fuller. Rethink Afghanistan behind the campaign. There's also a commentary track recorded by the director, Robert Greenwald, and Robert on his trip to Afghanistan, as well as eight experts debating Afghan issues, and also the entire congressional testimony of Rick Reyes, the Afghanistan war veteran who is now speaking out against the war, testifying before Congress. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call, 818-985-5735. We have four callers on the line. We'd love to hear from five or six more of you. And I want to interview Norman. I don't want to have to beg you guys for money. I'd much rather be interviewing Norman Solomon, who has a wealth of information. He just returned from Afghanistan. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number. I don't have any extra bonus thank you, last-minute enticements for you. This is it. We're offering you one and only one thank you gift this hour, and that's Rethink Afghanistan, just out on DVD. You can be among the first to order it, and you can support KPFK through this information and through the contribution that you make, which will enable us to continue bringing you the cutting-edge information about the ongoing occupation of Afghanistan. I mean, I challenge you to go to Uprising's website and type in the search field Afghanistan and see the intensive coverage that we have done of this issue over the last several years and, in fact, over the entire time we've been doing this program. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call, 818-985-5735. Robert, Norman, we just heard this incredibly moving part of the documentary about how civilians have been affected directly by U.S. bombs. You are someone who's been an activist for a very, very long time, and Afghanistan has been characterized as the place that empires go to die. Do you see similarities between the U.S. war in Afghanistan and what you saw in Vietnam?
Well, you know, unfortunately, there are so many parallels. I say that when you're occupying a country, good help is hard to find. And so for many years, you know, Diem and Thieu and Key and all these rotating de facto dictators in South Vietnam were put in and kept in and sometimes removed by the U.S. with a lot of complaints from Washington that they weren't measuring up. And, you know, we're seeing that now. And we're also seeing the indifference, if not the vicious brutality, from the central government supported by the U.S., which is of a piece with the U.S. policy overall. You know, listening to that segment of this new film, I was transported back to 2.5 weeks ago, where in Kabul I went to the Helmand Refugee Camp District 5 site, right inside the capital city of this country. 700 families displaced from southern Afghanistan, living with ditches, torn canvases, an occasional water pump, and mud structures. That was it. I met a man who had been awoken with his family at 5 in the morning in Helmand by the shaking and the uproar and the devastation of U.S. bombs. I met his daughter, Guljama, who is now 7 years old, and I realized partway through the discussion that she has now only one arm, courtesy of U.S. taxpayers. And I thought about all the rhetoric coming from Washington, including the president, about how this war is not primarily going to be won militarily, how about it's about winning the hearts and minds, how development is so crucial. And a light bulb went on in my head, because the statistics on the last supplemental appropriation coming out of the White House, pushed through Congress, now in effect, is 90% of the U.S. spending in Afghanistan is military. And
right.
So you begin with this entire focus of a military operation, and meanwhile, the people who are suffering as a result of the U.S. war effort are left afterwards, after the bombing, to fend for themselves.
818-985-5735 is a phone number to call, folks. If you want to support KPFK and this kind of analysis that we ignore at our peril, The film that we're giving away this hour is called Rethink Afghanistan, and it really, I think, exposes so many of the things Norman has just been talking about, and it does it brilliantly. I mean, this isn't just a documentary that was slapped together in a hurry. This is by experienced filmmakers, by people who have, you know, people brought you films like Iraq for Sale, people who have gone on the ground, who've done their homework, and it features interviews with Andrew Bacevich, as well as Tariq Ali, Steve Cole, Shukriya Barakzai, Dr. Ramzan Bashardos, who was one of the presidential candidates, probably the only one who actually had any integrity. He's featured in the films. Ahmed Rashid, the author of the best-selling book Taliban, as well as Pratap Chatterjee and Lawrence Korb, who actually, Norman, I understand you recently debated, Anne Jones, author of Kabul in Winter. Many, many incredible people, very powerful analysts. And, you know, they're not all the most progressive voices, but I think in a way that's a really good thing, because what it does is this documentary shows that liberal to moderate to centrist voices are quite skeptical of what's happening in Afghanistan. And I want to play for you another excerpt of the situation in Afghanistan. If people are interested, if Americans are interested primarily in security, in, well, we're in Afghanistan because we need to stay safe, this next clip from the film, I think, really gives lie to that. It features people who might you might expect would support the war, but even those folks see that our war is actually making the situation worse. Let's take another listen to Rethink Afghanistan.
Look, the notion that we are in Afghanistan to make our country safer is just complete. I'm sorry to use the language, but it is.
Both wars have made the Middle East and the world much more dangerous for Americans. And for any American presence overseas.
Terrorism has increased worldwide in the past 7 years. And we've spent a tremendous amount of treasure and blood to achieve a result of increased terrorism.
Specifically, as we've gone forward to try to increase our control of the country with more troops and concentrating that control in the heartland of the Pashtuns, the areas most sympathetic to the Taliban, what we've seen is an increase in anti-American and anti-Western suicide and other violence, not a decline.
It's creating much greater hostility towards the United States and creating a whole lot more people that would be happy to kill Americans or join in some kind of terrorist operation.
These policies are making people who hate us and who have the arms and means to attack us more emboldened and more in a hurry, more impatient, to carry out their attack, because we're coming.
Our invasion of Afghanistan, what it's doing is causing us greater danger, no question about it, because what's happening is the more we fight in Afghanistan, the more the conflict is pushed across the border into Pakistan. The more we destabilize Pakistan, the more likely it is that a fundamentalist government will take over the army, will be in charge, or at least a couple officers, and will have Al-Qaeda-like groups with nuclear weapons.
We're involved right now in Afghanistan in a counterinsurgency campaign.
What's happening now in Afghanistan, we used to call this mission creep. We went from hunting Al-Qaeda now to, if you like, nation building, or in this case, destroying people in the Taliban, whatever the Taliban is. I mean, the Taliban did not attack us on 9/11. They were simply the equivalent of a hotel operator that had a very bad guest, that committed a crime, and now we're going after the hotel and the hotel operator.
Today, we continue to fight the Taliban principally because they see us as occupiers of their country, and we see them as potentially creating a situation where either bin Laden or others might find sanctuary in the future. That's the principal reason we're focused on the Taliban. But as far as they're concerned, We are occupying their country.
We are going after Pashtun, ethnic Pashtuns who are fighting the central government in Kabul. We are in the middle of a civil war. And that's what we are. We are fighting a civil war. We are fighting to build a nation in Afghanistan, a nation that maybe the Afghans don't want. I'm not sure.
Al-Qaeda and the Taliban are groups with completely distinct ideologies and goals. The Taliban is a very locally oriented movement. Its main concern is within the borders of Afghanistan. Its main concern is to kick out the Americans, whereas Al-Qaeda has much more of a vision of global jihad.
Pressure on both has tended to fuse the two of them together. But again, I do want to caution that they are separate organizations, and we're making a mistake if we think of them as being manifestations of the same organization.
The Taliban are domestically motivated. By and large, they are conservative Pashtun people who want to take control of bits of Afghan territory and implement their own social and religious codes in Afghan territory, but do not have a primary interest in mounting terrorist attacks in the United States.
Al-Qaeda is a very specific international organization that was born in Pakistan in 1988, has operated continuously for 21 years or so since then, and it draws its membership from all over the world. Its most important characteristic is its global membership and agenda.
The Taliban are not Al-Qaeda.
The Taliban don't have an international agenda.
They're mounting what they see as a form of national liberation movement, and they're not, you know, strung around the world randomly blowing up civilians for some kind of shadowy international purpose.
They don't have an intention to put a bomb in New York or London or Madrid. They would. They have a local agenda, and they see themselves more as nationalists.
If you are confused about what's actually happening in Afghanistan, Rethink Afghanistan, which is a brand new finished DVD, just completed documentary, will explain it all, will break it down for you. And in this excerpt from the film, we understand that Al-Qaeda, of course, is not the same as the Taliban, but the Taliban are the main force that we're fighting in Afghanistan. Where is Al-Qaeda? Apparently, they're not even in Afghanistan. The next clip that I want to play for you features and features people expressing that, including General David Petraeus himself, openly saying Al-Qaeda is not in Afghanistan. So why is the U.S. there? 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. 818-985-KPFK. For a pledge of just $10 a month, we'll send you the DVD Rethink Afghanistan, an hour-long documentary with lots of extra special features, and it becomes such an important tool in the hands of activists, in the hands of those 58% of you, and I think the percentage is much larger probably in our listenership, that oppose this war. 818-985-KPFK. It's a six-part documentary that focuses on what the military escalation will achieve in Afghanistan, as well as a whole section on Pakistan, the neighboring country, which has such a long role and such an important and crucial role in Afghanistan. There's a section on the costs of the U.S. war in Afghanistan, very important at a time of economic recession when people are trying to figure out about the cost of healthcare reform. What about the cost of the war in Afghanistan. We also have a whole section on the effects of the airstrikes on Afghan civilians, the wedding parties. I mean, just recently there was an airstrike that killed 90 civilians in the northern part of Afghanistan, where apparently there isn't even necessarily a Taliban force, although maybe they're spreading. There's a whole section on Afghan women and the whole notion about whether Afghan women really were liberated by the U.S. war, or perhaps they're even worse off now. And then the final part, which actually features high-ranking intelligence agents explaining why there is no victory to be won in Afghanistan. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call, and it's a pledge of $120 for the DVD of Rethink Afghanistan. Share it with your friends, have a house party to view the film, and really, you know, use it as a tool, because currently there is no other documentary documentary that exposes what's happening in Afghanistan. This is a fantastic film made by the people who brought you Walmart, The High Cost of Low Price, Iraq for Sale, and many other very, very important documentaries. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. The New York Times reviewed the film as well and said that Rethink Afghanistan is being shaped both as a film and a campaign at the same time. You can be part of that campaign. John Nichols of The Nation says, if our news media fails to tell us the full story and the nightmarish turns that the occupation has taken, tune in to the Brave New Foundation's terrific Rethink Afghanistan project. The Nation says, oppose the war in Afghanistan. Watch Brave New Foundation's Rethink Afghanistan. 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We only have one caller on the line right now. My guest for the hour is Norman Solomon, Executive Director of the Institute for Public Accuracy and prolific author and writer and analyst. Norman, what really confounds me about the anti-war movement in the United States is the slowness of the movement in doing something about Afghanistan. It seems as though momentum is building, but just even judging by how few people are calling to get copies of this documentary, it can be quite disheartening. What do you think is going on here?
Well, there is an irony, because if we look at the swing in the polls in the last couple of months, there are a number of major U.S. Progressive organizations with hundreds of thousands or even millions of online members or recipients who are actually less anti-war than the average American. Mm. You know, when you have 58 or 60% of the population as a whole saying they're opposed to this war, and you have major groups, and, you know, Move On as an example, that have basically been silent about Afghanistan, you see the cost of simply attaching movements to the Democratic Party. And I believe that there are independent progressives who are becoming more aware of the crucial need to challenge the U.S. war effort in Afghanistan, those who work inside the Democratic Party as well as outside. Just here in California, you know, Obama is facing an enormous problem. It was now a couple of months ago when the chair of the California Democratic Party, John Burton, sent out an email to all of the members of the Democratic State Central Committee, and I'm one of them, saying that he supports the complete withdrawal of all U.S. forces from Afghanistan. This is the guy who's head of the largest Democratic Party in the country. We have a challenge now underway from Marcy Winograd against Jane Harman in the L.A. area, and I think we're going to be seeing more and more opposition to the war from within the party.
Norman Solomon, I want to play another excerpt of the clip Rethink Afghanistan, but I'm wondering if you can also reflect on this issue or on this question of what exactly is President Obama trying to achieve, you think, in Afghanistan? I mean, what is the end game?
Well, you know, I believe that he has been adhering to the conventional media and political wisdom, the quote-unquote Afghanistan is the good war approach. And unfortunately for his political calculus, that entire approach is becoming unglued and untenable. I was just on Capitol Hill 2-3 days ago talking to a couple members of Congress and many staffers, and it's clear that there's disarray. Because Obama, I think, with the kind of advice that he gets and unfortunately heeds from the likes of Rahm Emanuel, the safe thing to do was to pursue this war. And now he's sort of caught between his own rhetoric and the militarism that is so embedded in Washington and the news media, and the strong push in a different direction from public opinion. And so it's becoming untenable. And the default position he's taking so far is just the disastrous course of escalating the war.
818-985-5735 is the phone number to call as we spend the hour with analyst and expert Norman Solomon, who's just returned from a trip to Afghanistan. We need to hear from you folks. I'm going to assume that the silence on our phone lines means that our majority of our listeners support the war in Afghanistan, that the majority of our listeners want to spend billions of U.S. dollars to kill Afghans, to increase increase the insurgency and actually make the likelihood of terrorist acts here in the United States higher. And that's what we're going to hear about in the next excerpt, how actually the United States going after a phantom enemy in Afghanistan is making things worse. I mean, this is bizarre to me that nobody is calling in on a Friday morning when we're focusing on a documentary that is such a powerful look, you know, featuring people like Tom Hayden, Juan Cole, Anand Gopal, the most honest and independent correspondent in Afghanistan today, as well as people inside Afghanistan, Shukriya Barakzai, Ramzan Bashardost, Ahmed Rashid, who's in Pakistan, Steve Cole, Andrew Basevich. What a phenomenal cast of folks that are featured here. Prothap Chatterjee, Lawrence Korb, Ann Jones. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call, and it's just a pledge of $120 a month. That's $120, that is $10 a month to KPFK. KPFK is so important, folks. We have been sounding the alarm about the Afghanistan war right from the beginning, when the majority of the mainstream media had been part of the consensus that it is the so-called good war. And here on this radio station, you know you can get cutting-edge analysis of what is happening, of what is really going on the ground. 818-985-5735 is the phone number, 818-985-KPFK. You know, the occupation has gone on for almost eight years, and one of the things that we were told was that we were going into Afghanistan to liberate Afghan women. What has really happened on the ground for Afghan women? Have we? And this has actually been a point on which many members of Congress have said, well, I support the Afghan war because if we leave, then the women are going to succumb to the horrific rule of the Taliban. Well, actually, we find out that they're already succumbing to the rule of the warlords that the U.S. supports. Let's take a listen to the voices of many women inside Afghanistan, as well as here in the U.S., that were interviewed for this film, Rethink Afghanistan.
The president of Afghanistan, Hamid Karzai, held a press conference early Saturday morning. On that same day, Western media reports were released on a new law passed in Afghanistan.
President Hamid Karzai recently signed a law that threatens women's basic rights.
President Karzai is legalizing a law that is legalizing rape.
The UN says it's the legalization of rape.
We're only a few years removed from the rule of terrorists, when women were denied education and every basic human right. That tyranny has been replaced by young democracy.
Today, because we acted, Afghanistan's women serve as teachers and doctors and journalists and judges.
And the power of freedom is on display across Afghanistan.
The claim or the discussions that we were hearing 7 years ago was that Afghanistan women were liberated or became free out of the Taliban's domination.
The perception of the women of Afghanistan having been severely oppressed only under the regime of the Taliban, and then having been freed by the United States military intervention in 2001, is a false perception.
We got reports back that indeed that had been accomplished, and that women had thrown off their burqas and gone back to school and gone back to work, and things were wonderful for women. This is complete mythology. It didn't happen.
And now they're very, very disappointed. It's like seeing the light at the end of the tunnel but never being able to reach it.
Now the case of violence against women more than Taliban time. There is 23 rape case in 2 months in North Afghanistan. There is a lot of violence against women in West Afghanistan.
Rape, pillage, plunder, the abduction of young girls, the threatening of school teachers, these recent incidents in terms of acid.
Girls attacked with acid for daring to go to school. Despite initial gains, women's rights and even women themselves are increasingly under attack.
Since the U.S. invasion of Afghanistan, cosmetically, things have improved for women. Yes, there are women in parliament now. Yes, there are driving schools and beauty schools for women. But really, if you look beneath the surface, has life improved for women in Afghanistan? Absolutely not.
And that's another excerpt of the fantastic new film Rethink Afghanistan, which you can get a copy of. Be among the first to order this brand new DVD, hour-long documentary with hours of special features at 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And for a pledge of just $10 a month, we'll send you this DVD, Rethink Afghanistan, a fantastic film, an important and crucial tool in the hands of activists who oppose this war or even who are questioning this war. In fact, that it's a fantastic film for people who are questioning this war, particularly, as you just heard, for people who were convinced that we've actually gone into Afghanistan to liberate women and that even and that we have now, you know, freed Afghan women. Norman Solomon, my guest for the hour. Norman, when you were in Afghanistan, you spoke with a leading dissident inside Afghanistan, a member of the parliament who was actually kicked off of the parliament by the U.S.-backed warlords that dominate. Can you tell us about your meeting with Malalai Joya?
Yeah, she was so moving and inspiring to meet with. I believe she's now in her early 30s. She's someone who already has behind her more than half a dozen years of publicly speaking out for women's rights. She's undergone 5 assassination attempts. She was in a very heavily guarded, undisclosed location. And she, as she put it, is absolutely opposed to all foreign intervention and all warlords. And she was, I was asking her about the main opponent to President Karzai, Abdullah Abdullah, and she said, well, you know, you can take a warlord, give him a shave and a haircut, put him in a suit, and he's still a warlord. And here's somebody who is probably not only persona non grata, but actually is somebody who every major force with huge power in Afghanistan, the U.S., the Taliban, other insurgents, they would all just as soon see her disappear entirely off the planet because she's such a truth teller and so willing to speak out. I was really struck, too, as I met with officials from the United Nations and feminist groups and so forth in Kabul, that we are delusionary if we think that escalating a war is going to help women. Here's just one example. There's a very well-documented study now that 89% of the women in Afghanistan are now undergoing very serious domestic violence. Anybody who thinks that ramping up warfare in a society is going to do anything but increase that figure is sadly mistaken.
818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. It's amazing to think about the fact that our tax dollars are funding the oppression of women, the killing of children, the strengthening of the insurgency. It's amazing to think that not enough people are speaking out, even if people oppose this war. And Norman, I want to ask you this very important point. Even if 58% of Americans oppose this war when polled, no one's out on the streets, not just yet. I mean, I know there's anti-war events being planned this fall, but so far, where are those, where are the reflections of that opposition on the streets and really even on our phone, on our phones here on KPFK?
Well, I think there's been a real slowness, to put it mildly, for people to get mobilized and realize what is at stake. When the U.S. is escalating a war, the more that happens, the more difficult it is to reverse the momentum. It is a deadly sort of progression or regression into what Martin Luther King Jr. called the madness of militarism. And the sooner we act, the better. I think some people are mistakenly believing now that because the polls are swinging against the war, that means somehow this escalation will end. The fact is that polls showed for several years most people in this country were opposed to the Vietnam War beginning in the late 1960s, and that war continued for several years, including actually an increase in the bombing of Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. And people, unfortunately, have sometimes a misplaced confidence that sanity and rationality will reign in the White House or on Capitol Hill. There is no reason for that confidence. We can only have that confidence if we are able to organize effectively to turn this around.
We have four callers on the line right now at KPFK at 820-985-5735, 820-985-5735. And I really encourage and urge those of you who are listening to be part of this solution to what's happening in Afghanistan by pledging to KPFK, keeping alive this free speech radio station that brings you this information and analysis and tells you about what's happening in Afghanistan, and then take it a step further. Make your donation count towards a positive step. Make your donation enable you to take positive action. We'll send you a copy of Rethink Afghanistan, a very eye-opening DVD that can be part of hopefully ending this war in Afghanistan. It's just a pledge of $10 a month or $120 contribution. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 callers on the line right now, and thank you for responding, and I apologize for hurling accusations of complacency earlier, but it was frustrating. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number. We have room for about 3 or 4 more of you to call in and make a pledge of $120, or just break it up into $10 a month. 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. And, you know, folks, this is an issue that is near and dear to my heart. It's an issue I've been working on for years, for almost really 10 years now. Next year, it'll be my 10th year working with Afghan women on the ground. And I'm so impressed with the work that Robert Greenwald has done. Norman, I remember meeting you several years ago at an event in the Southern California area when I talked to you about, getting more critics of the Afghanistan war on the Institute for Public Accuracy. And you promised me, you said, absolutely, you're right, we need to do it. And it happened. And I really value your contribution and your participation in the mass critique of the Afghanistan war.
Well, I have to say that, you know, KPFK in general and this program in particular has really been cutting edge, not only in this state, but for media around the country to come to terms with what's really involved. And I think part of it is to cut through the clutter and the clatter of mass media messaging and to realize that there are some basic fundamental human rights principles involved, and there also is humanity involved, which should be stating the obvious. But I think we've all had the experience of reading about a city, a region, a country, a continent, and it doesn't seem quite real until you have the opportunity to go there or
right.
At least meet somebody from there. And then the scales fall from our eyes. We realize this is about human connection and the future of our species on this planet.
I think you make a really important point. And for me, going to Afghanistan was a life-changing event as well. Just really seeing, I'm from India and I know what poverty looks like. And I've seen poverty. My parents come from poverty. But the poverty in Afghanistan was a whole different thing, as I'm sure you yourself realized. And that is such an enormous problem. We're waging war on one of the most impoverished countries in the world, whose statistics are just incredible. If you look at maternal mortality, infant mortality, starvation, access to health care, among the worst indicators in the world, literally competing with a few countries in sub-Saharan Africa for the number one spot on these horrific indicators. And we're fighting an incredible war. They're pouring billions of dollars into fighting the war and very little of it into actually doing developmental work and supporting human rights. Norman, Rick Reyes was on our program right after he returned from his trip with you to Afghanistan. Do you think that the increasing numbers of U.S. casualties is going to spur more Americans into action? By the end of this year, we could be reaching 1,000 U.S. dead or by next early or middle of next year.
Well, unfortunately, it does seem to take U.S. deaths to really awaken the public and the media and those in the halls of Congress. And, of course, we should be concerned about every death, including no less than anybody else, the Afghan death. But it really is the American death that gets more attention here. And there's no doubt it's continuing to rise. And I do want to comment briefly. I know we're almost out of time. I hope people will prepare and will actually get to their phone and call. But to see the young people, it's just heartbreaking. I saw children playing with makeshift kites. I saw little plastic soda bottles that were being dragged around with a rope by children. That was clearly their toys. And then you look at the numbers, just one statistic, infant mortality out of every 1,000 live births, 154 infant deaths before the age of one. That is an infant mortality rate of more than 15%. This administration, this government in the United States is waving the white flag on poverty in Afghanistan and waging horrific war in a military sense, and we need to flip those priorities absolutely upside down.
Well, Norman Solomon, I want to thank you so much for all the work that you do, for spending the hour with us, and we will certainly have you back on in the future, and I thank you in advance for that as well.
Thank you, Sonali.
Norman Solomon is the executive director of the Institute for Public Accuracy. He's also the author of several books, including War Made Easy, How Presidents and Pundits Keep Spinning Us to Death. He just returned from Afghanistan. Folks, we have 5 minutes left, and all the phone lines are open right now. And we needed 40 callers this hour to make our goal, and maybe we got 20. And we just have 5 minutes left in the hour. We need to hear from 20 more of you, and we can fit you in. 818-985-KPFK is the phone number to call. 818-985-5735. It's a pledge of $120 or just $10 a month to get Rethink Afghanistan, the DVD of the film that was just completed by Brave New Films, such good friends of KPFK, Robert Greenwald and his crew of producers who have gone into debt to make this film. They're a nonprofit like us. They, were not able to get independent funding. I mean, they literally have gone into debt to make this film, and they consider it such an important film. We have two callers on the line. I need to hear from another eight more of you. 818-985-KPFK is the number. 818-985-5735. You can also pledge online at kpfk.org, and it just takes a few minutes. Pledge with your credit card, break it up into installments, and get a copy of Rethink Afghanistan and support KPFK. It's a way of making your donation work twice for you. You get the film, you get KPFK, and you use the film to generate information and attention and interest and opposition, because, I mean, as Norman was saying, even though this is a war that's opposed by the majority of Americans, does not mean that that war is going to end. It's a matter of convincing those in power. It's a matter of raising the stakes against those in power to make the case that it's going to be more practical for them to end the war than to continue it. We have three callers on the line right now, folks. Seven more. If we can get seven more right now, 818-985-KPFK is the phone number. Rethink Afghanistan, hour-long documentary that features such luminaries as Tom Hayden and Juan Cole. I have to admit, I'm in the film briefly as well. Anand Gopal, who is a correspondent for the Christian Science Monitor and now with Wall Street Journal, one of the few honest reporters in Afghanistan, Ramzan Bashardos, Shukriya Barakzai, Steve Cole, Tariq Ali, Ahmed Rashid, Lawrence Korb, Pratap Chatterjee, Ann Jones, all of these folks are in this documentary, Rethink Afghanistan, making the case that it is absolutely important to either rethink our position there or end the occupation altogether. 818-985-KPFK is a phone number, 818-985-5735. Learn about what the results of our military escalation have been. Learn about the role of Pakistan in this whole conflict. We haven't even had the chance to play for you so many excerpts that I had prepared because we ran out of time. Learn about how our war has actually made things worse for Afghan women and children. Learn about the role of the Taliban and how they're very different from Al-Qaeda. And you can hear David Petraeus say in the film that Al-Qaeda are not even in Afghanistan. If so, why are we there? 818-985-5735 is the phone number to call. We have five callers on the line for a pledge of $120 or just $10 a month. Six callers. Thank you so much for those calls. Seven callers now. We have room for three more calling in right now at 818-985-KPFK. $120 contribution for Rethink Afghanistan, a fabulous documentary by Robert Greenwald and Brave New Films. A very important documentary. Use it as a tool. Have house parties. Watch it. Share it. And make waves with it. And really think about what KPFK provides to you. We have played clips of Rethink Afghanistan on our airwaves as they have come out in an effort to expose to you the important work. Well, we are out of time, folks. I've been given the signal. I have 30 seconds left to wrap. Please call and make those pledges. Make that happen. $120 pledge. I mean, I know that our listeners care about this war and about the effects on Afghan women, children, ordinary people, and even U.S. soldiers. Maybe you are a relative of a U.S. soldier who who's serving in Afghanistan, or you yourself are one, your son, your daughter are going to Afghanistan, give this to them. 818-985-KPFK. For Sonali's subversive thought for the day, Albert Camus once said, in such a world of conflict, a world of victims and executioners, it is a job of thinking people not to be on the side of the executioners. That's Sonali's subversive thought for the day. You've been listening to Uprising. Our assistant producer is Gabriel San Romano. Our intern is Daniel Cooper. Our engineer is Melissa Figueroa. I'm your host and producer, Sonali Kohatkar. Keep those calls coming in. Thanks so much for listening, and see you on Monday at 8.